I wonder if you've got a plain story. I don't mean a boring story. I mean, sometimes you talk to people and they tell you of a time when they went on a plane, they sneezed, and the person next to them decided they wanted to follow Jesus. Or it's that idea of when you've sat on a plane and you've gone somewhere and all of a sudden the person you're talking to is like, yes, I want to know who Jesus is. I wonder if you've got a story like that. I know whenever I hear stories of people miraculously stopping at the traffic lights and having a bingle or something and they end up leading that person to Jesus, that inspires me and makes me want to do the same. Who knows, over this week I'm on a number of flights. Maybe I will come home with a plane story. But I can actually tell you right now, I don't have one of those crazy plane stories or one of those times where I just sat with someone, met for the first time and led them to know Jesus. Because actually for me, I'm not a natural evangelist. Now, I'm okay at preaching, I'm good at talking to people, I'm good at leading and guiding and thinking through what it means to know Jesus. But actually, if you put me out in the community on a random spot, I'm not very likely to see someone come to know Jesus. It just hasn't really been my gifting or my wiring. So what I want to look at today is, how do we reach people if we're not natural evangelists? Some of you might be sitting there in the room and going, actually, you know, that is actually my gifting. That's my wiring. I just know what people are doing, and that's fantastic. My hunch is most of you are like, yeah, that's not me. And so that's who I want to speak to. Now, I hope if you are an evangelist, what I speak to today will still speak to you and will still encourage you. But in particular, I'm hoping that what we look at today will encourage those of you who don't necessarily see evangelism as your strong suit, and how we as a church are actually working to create an environment that encourages this to happen. We're in the last week of our series called A Public Faith in Challenging Times. Our last series looked at Hebrews, and that was just how to hold faith. That was how to persevere. That was how to keep your faith and keep going strong. And for these last few weeks, we've been looking at what the next step is. The next step beyond just holding your faith is the reality that God has called us to a public faith. He's called us to live out what it means to follow Jesus. And it isn't always easy. It's not always easy to be known as the Christian. When you're in the workplace and, oh yeah, they're a Christian. And sometimes that has positive connotations and sometimes it doesn't. What does it mean to live a public faith in times where being public with your faith isn't always accepted? And so we're going to take some time to look at what Jesus left us. Because whether or not you're an evangelist, Jesus left every follower of Jesus the same mission. It's not that some Christians have one mission and other Christians have another. The overarching mission that Jesus left was to his church. His church has the mission to make disciples who make disciples. That everyone who decides to follow Jesus will play a role in this mission. And so whether or not it's you sitting by someone on the plane and saying, hey, do you know about Jesus? Or it's some other way, what does it look like for us to be a part of Jesus' mission? Here at Austin Cove, if you're new or if maybe you just need a reminder of what this looks like for us, we've actually defined this mission as journeying with people towards Jesus. Journeying with people towards Jesus. And there's a few key aspects to what this means. Firstly, we recognize that faith is actually a journey. It's actually fairly rare for someone to go from 0 to 100 in 0.6 seconds when it comes to knowing Jesus. It normally actually takes some time, and there might be some ups and there might be some downs. And so we realize that part of our job of helping people come to know Jesus is it's about taking that time. I almost guarantee that the person who comes to faith on a plane, that's not the first time they've heard about Jesus. I almost guarantee that there have been other steps along the way that have led to that moment where they make that decision. There's been some kind of journey. And we recognize that this journey is with people, with others, with those that are around us, that we are journeying with them, that we're walking with them through the good times and through the challenging times. But we also recognize that there is a purpose to this journey. This isn't just about making friends. This is a recognition that there is something greater than just befriending our community. Well, that's a good step, and that is part of the journey. Actually, befriending those around us is part of what it means to journey. But the purpose is to journey towards Jesus, to actually help people take active steps towards knowing who Jesus is. And so as a church, we've broken it down into three main steps. The first step is engaging people who are far from God. Now, I guarantee everyone in this room knows some people who are about as far from God as you could imagine. You're just thinking right now, I know who that person is, and they want nothing to do with God. Unless God was to zap them, which sometimes he does, but it's not his normal approach, they're going to have no opportunity to get to know Jesus unless somebody actually reaches across the divide and engages with them. And so we want to engage with people who are far from Jesus, who have no interest, who aren't really open to the idea. And there are different ways that we can do that, and there are ways that aren't in their face. And we'll cover some of those as we look through these things. We then realize that there's a stage where eventually you can't just engage with them. There needs to be movement. And so we foster environments that help people to encounter him. That we don't just want to befriend and engage those. We want to bring them to a place where they have a chance to encounter Jesus. And then once someone has actually encountered Jesus, we want to equip them to rinse and repeat. We want to equip them to do what Jesus called us to do, because they've now met the become a disciple. The next part of that journey is to make disciples. And so as a church, this is actually our process of evangelism. It's not go out, sit at the traffic lights, talk to someone about Jesus. It's recognizing that actually all of your life can be a part of this evangelistic approach. It's not about the one moment. It's not about the lightning bolt that happens. It's actually recognizing that everything you do, every day, every place you go, you have an opportunity to play a role in someone's journey towards Jesus. And so what does this look like individually? And what does this look like collectively? How do you do this as a person? And how do we do this as a church? That's what we're going to spend a bit of time looking at. So I'd love you to jump with me into Mark chapter 1. Very commonplace when people are reading the Bible with people. Mark is often the gospel that's recommended. It's a fairly simple one. It's only 16 chapters, so it's a fairly concise one. It has all of the main points that you need to know about Jesus. So Mark, if you're actually finding that someone's open to reading the Bible, Mark is a great place to start. And that is actually one tip in terms of evangelizing or leading someone to know Jesus, is when you get to the place that you build up the courage to ask the question, would you like to read the Bible with me? And it doesn't have to be anything in depth, and it doesn't have to be that you have all the answers. Because if you can follow Jesus without having all the answers, that's actually encouraging to someone who doesn't have all the answers. If you can have recognized that actually I think this whole Jesus story is true, while I've still got doubts, while I've still got questions, while I'm still not sure about everything, it removes one of the barriers that some people have to following Jesus. And so a really good first step is just find someone that's at that stage where they've probably engaged a little bit and ask them the question, would you like to read the Bible? And then just pick up Mark. Mark's a really good place to start. So I'm just going to read through this whole section, and then I'm going to talk through why this is important, how Jesus does this, and how it speaks to us today. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now, I wish it was as easy as that. I wish we could just go up to someone around and say, "Hey, come follow me." But there are some principles that Jesus teaches here that actually are as simple as they appear. It may not work in the exact same way, but the principles that he is speaking to are exactly how we go about it today. So at the very beginning of that, it says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. What's going on here is that Jesus was in their vicinity. Jesus was in their place. He was in their world. He came to them. One thing that we recognize with Jesus is he actually demonstrated by coming down to earth part of the process that we take to reach others. That rather than just staying in heaven and speaking from the skies and saying, "Hey, come and follow me," as much as that might have been really impacting, Jesus chose to take on flesh and move into the neighborhood, to move into the area. And so he was in their place, in their vicinity. One of the first things that you can do is actually think about who's in your vicinity. Who do you rub shoulders with? Again, it's a rarity that you will get the exception where you'll meet someone out of the blue and lead them to know Jesus. That is the exception, not the norm. The vast majority of people that decide to follow Jesus do so because they journey with someone that they know. The vast majority of people who actually have a testimony, and when you ask someone to share, "How did you come to know Jesus?" they will almost always name, "Well, there was this person, there was this person, there was this person. I went to this church, I went to this youth group, I went to this club, I got involved at work, and this person was always having lunch with me." Who are the people that you rub shoulders with? Where you work, where you rest, family, and where you play? And are you praying for them? Maybe you need a little booklet that you can actually just write down some names of people and have a system in place that you're actively praying that God would create a way. Jesus met them where they were and then called them to something else. But what would it look like for you to be aware of just who's in your vicinity? The next little section there is in verse 17. It says, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Now, this is where we can't actually replicate exactly what Jesus did. It actually isn't possible, but again, there's a principle that underlies this. Because part of the reason why they actually chose to follow Jesus was that Jesus appeared to them as a rabbi. The way that Jesus talked, the way that Jesus interacted, was they absolutely would have thought, "This is a rabbi asking me to follow him." And that was part of the culture at the time. That's exactly what would happen, is that rabbis would find young men, and this was all appropriate, and they would actually ask them to come and follow them. Now, the reality here, though, is the followers here that Jesus is speaking to, they've missed out. If they've already taken up their father's trade, it's almost certain that they had not been asked to follow a rabbi, that they've had to go the second best option, because every Jewish boy aspired to be a rabbi. And so here comes this person that's getting the reputation for being like a rabbi, and he asks them to follow him. We can't do that. We're not a Jewish rabbi. We don't have that sort of pull with people in our community. But here's where it interacts with what we have. We, can call them to follow Jesus, the person. They didn't start following Jesus because they thought he was the savior of the universe. They didn't start to follow Jesus because they thought he was the Messiah. They actually just thought he had some good things to learn about. And for all the challenges that the church might have in the world today, where there are those who are a bit standoffish with the church, Jesus himself still has a relatively good name. Jesus himself and what he stood for. You'll find lots of people that will actually say, I actually don't mind the things that I read that Jesus said. It's just those Christians that I have a problem with. And what we can actually do is we can let people meet Jesus as a good guy and journey with those people as they discover that Jesus is actually more than just that. Because that's what Jesus did. The early disciples that started to follow Jesus, they didn't start following him because they thought he was actually the Messiah that had come. They started to follow him thinking he might teach us a thing or two. And then slowly over time, and you see it every now and then, you see little snippets where they go, could this be the one? Could this be the Messiah? That as they journeyed together, the penny started to drop. I wonder if you think back to your time, and I don't know if you grew up in church or whether you came to faith later, and you remember what it was like. Even if you did grow up in church, you may have had a season where you kind of stepped away from faith or stepped away from really believing that it was real. And then there's a time as you start to re-explore or reinvestigate and go, there actually might be something to this Jesus. Maybe this is more than just going to church on a Sunday. Maybe this Jesus really is the Son of God. How did it start? Come follow me. Spend some time with me. Come know what this looks like. You may be surprised as you help people. Just think about what do they think about Jesus. Ask them, what do they think? What's their experience of Jesus? What have they been told? And even dare them to say, just imagine if what you actually think about Jesus, imagine if that was real. Because Jesus still has a relatively good name for a lot of people that are exploring or at least open to Christianity. Come follow. Walk how I walk. Talk how I talk. Help them see who Jesus was. Maybe it starts off that he was just a good teacher, and in time they get the opportunity to encounter that he was actually more than that. And then this is a really important line that we often do skip over. But he says, and I will send you out to fish for people. We're not going to actually go out and fish for people. That would be a bit strange. I don't think they have any fishing rods that would quite work for that anyway. What Jesus is very clearly doing here is he is using language that they would understand. He is meeting them in their world. This is not Christianese. This is not Jesusese. This is they get fishing. He knows them enough to know, it's fairly obvious they're out fishing, but he finds a way to enter into their world. He finds a way to find something that they're interested in, and then speak to that. Fishing was their world. Fishing was what they knew. And so Jesus took something they knew and then stretched their imagination beyond that horizon. If you come and follow me, you're not just going to catch fish. You catch a fish, you have a meal, you're hungry again tomorrow. I'll help you catch people. Come follow me. And you will catch people. Every journey begins with a single step. It's a bit of a cliche, but it is true. Cliches are often some of the truest things. We just get a bit bored of them because it's like, yeah, we know that. But a journey really does begin with a single step. Now, whether it's a single step like this, or if in the case of the journey we're about to take, it's the first flight, or maybe it's the first car leg, but all journeys start with a step, and they take multiple steps to get there. another challenge that we have in terms of evangelizing people is we almost build it up into, I need to do the whole thing straight away. I need to meet the person. I need to tell them about Jesus. I need to convince them that he's real. I need to see them make a decision. And I need to then get them to decide to come to church this Sunday. All before morning tea. And it doesn't work. It isn't how most people discover Jesus. What you can do is you can think about the people in your vicinity, the people that you have on your heart, the people that you would long to know him. And you can ask God and you can think for yourself and you can try and get some understanding of what is their next step. What is the thing that they next need? It might be the, hey, would you like to read the Bible with me? It might be, hey, let's just get a coffee and just get to know each other. What is their next step? A lot of people ask us about the Early Learning Center. Why did the church get involved in an Early Learning Center? And sometimes I ask myself that question. But there's actually, and why do we do it the way that we do it? Because it's not a Christian Early Learning Center. And people go, what do you mean a church is running a center that isn't specifically Christian? Like, don't you do like Bible verses and aren't all the staff Christian? No, that's not what we decided to make the Early Learning Center. And I'll tell you why. That's not to say that any other approach is wrong. Every church that runs an early learning center has an intention to why they do it the way they do it. And the reason why we've chosen to do the early learning center the way we have is we were asking ourselves the question, if a family is looking to send their children to an early learning center, what is their most pressing question? I can tell you that their most pressing question is it going to teach my children about Jesus? The most pressing question they're wanting to know is, will this place care for my kids? And so we decided that the role that the Early Learning Center was going to play as a church in discipleship was it was going to be in the engaged space where it solved a parent's primary question. Can I find a place that will care for my kids? And that is what is most important to us at Discovery Cove. It's then the church's job to come alongside that and build programs and build relationships and get to know the staff and find other opportunities where we can get to know, and get to know Jesus. But the first step for a lot of the families in our community is not going to be coming to church. It's not even going to be coming to Toddler Jam. It's not even going to be coming along to an event the church does because they're not looking for a church. But they'll come to Discovery Cove because it has what they're looking for. And that brings them into our orbit and gives us an opportunity to help them take the next step. So take that into your workplace. Take that into your family if you've got family and loved ones that don't know Jesus. Take that into the places that you go and play sport and games and activities. What are the questions that each of those people are actually asking? How do you meet them there? And then prayerfully consider what the next steps might be. So the way that we talk about it here, and this is a bit of a recap in case you hadn't worked it out, but for those of you that have joined us recently, this will be new. We encourage people to pay very close attention to who's in your vicinity. Because what we realize that we need to do here to help people move from being engaged to encountered is that we actually want to foster connection. We want to get you to really think about, how am I connecting with people where I work? How am I connecting with people where I rest? Which again, that's our analogy for home, and home is not always a place of rest. But in theory, that's a place where we go and lay our heads down. And how do we foster connection where we play? That's the first step. The first step is just foster connections. Build friendships, build relationships, get to know the people in these places. It's often the natural thing to go into these places and almost hide and get through it until you can come home and go do somewhere else. But get to know those people. And the first step is not even about, you don't have to mention Jesus, you don't have to talk about the Bible. It's just build connections. And then prayerfully consider, who is God laying on my heart? Who is God nudging me towards? What's going on? There's a book called Five Catalysts of Spiritual Growth, which is a bit of a backdrop to some of these things. Because it gives five key things that when you have someone share their testimony, most testimonies have a few of these key things. And in this particular instance, I think that pivotal circumstances and providential relationships play a really significant role in how this actually happens. They'll share a story of, there was this time that I was really struggling at work, and then this person came into my life. And we started to have coffee. We started to get breakfast together. And they just listened. And I got to share what was going on in my life. And then I discovered they were a Christian. Or, my spouse left me, and I was broken and alone. And then this person who was in my vicinity came along and bought me a meal and looked out for me and looked after me. Pivotal circumstances and providential relationships, without an agenda, without it being that I'm doing this just to get there, because here's the reality. We encourage you to build these relationships without being sure that they will actually lead anywhere. You don't know exactly who God's going to stir towards himself. So it's not just that you go, I got my three people and they're going to know Jesus. That may not be realistic, but be aware of those in your vicinity and connect and be open and be present in those times. And just see what God will do. The next step is the more the come and follow. This is building towards encountering Jesus. And this is where you want to foster curiosity and foster commitment. What questions are they asking? And now, the first question might be, what am I going to have for breakfast? All right, go have breakfast with them. But actually, as you get to know a person, as you've fostered that connection, they will start talking to you about the challenges of life. They will start talking to you about their questions of, why did this happen to me? Or is there actually a God in this world? And before you feel like you need to give the perfect answer, realize that often underneath the question, they're actually more curious than they're wanting to know the answer. There's a wrestle going on. So I'm not saying don't give the answer, but it's okay if you don't have the exact words. Press in. Foster that curiosity. Try and find out what's going on beneath the surface when they say these things. And then in time, that's where you may find what God actually encourages and says, here's a person to read the Bible with. You've journeyed with them. They've been asking some questions. What is this whole God thing? Or is there a God? Maybe that is where you can then say, hey, how about we get breakfast next week and we just read the Bible together? They might say yes, they might say no. But it gives an opportunity where you can take those steps towards Jesus. What are their questions and where are you growing? Often God will use your growth points to actually reach out to other people. He will let you use the things that you've recently experienced to then actually put that into practice. And so that means that you need to be growing. So what does that look like? The five aspects of spiritual growth that play particular things here are practical teaching. Where are you making sure that you're getting practical teaching that gives you something to leverage and to learn that you can then go out and help to apply it? And how are you putting the private disciplines in place? Are you reading the Bible? Are you praying? Are you finding solitude and rest? I think it's definitely our Western culture's issue now is that we're just too tired. We're just too busy. We don't have time. So build solitude and rest into your rhythms and routines that you will then be able to do these things with energy. Makes a really big difference. What are your disciplines and where are they lacking at the moment? And then the last step is that I will send you out to fish for people. As we look to equip people, it's not just equipping them to live Christianity themselves. We're looking to equip people to pass it on, to share it with others, to do the work of multiplication. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All nations is a lot. We're all called to multiply. So what's your role? Where do you need to be equipped? Where are your pain points? Where are your weaknesses? Where are the areas where you're just not quite sure what to do and how to do it? A few things to realize in the metaphor that Jesus used is fishing has equipment. Our fishing today is a bit different to the fishing at Jesus' time, but it's a similar idea. It has equipment. And so the fishermen needed to be equipped. They needed to have the metaphorical tools to actually go and do this. And that's what Jesus said he was going to teach them. What do you need to be taught? What are the areas that you're going through the motions or you've never really thought about? What does this look like in practice? How do I be a Christian presence in my particular workplace? How do I actually just read the Bible with someone else? Like, is it literally just read it for, do we word verse by verse, or is it chapter by chapter, or what are those things? They're actually all things we can help you with as a church. The other thing is that fishing benefits from experience. Now, can you go out, throw your line in and pull in a whopper? Yes, you can. The reality is, though, those who have been fishing for a while, they'll know the spots. They'll know what the waves mean. They'll know where, if the sun's in a particular place or the moon's over here, or they'll have the guy and they'll get to know it. It's the same thing with getting to know and leading people to Jesus. The more you do it, the more experience you get, the more times you actually practice, you'll find that you grow and improve with these things. Who are the people God has laid on your heart? And you might have had these people on your heart for 30 years. 20 years, 10 years. Keep them there. Keep them in your mind. Maybe it's new. You've moved to a new workplace or you've moved to a new place. Who are those that God is bringing into your vicinity that maybe, just maybe, the journey towards Him is starting and your role in their journey? Who are you praying for? The catalysts that are really important here. It's being involved in personal ministry, and it's so much more than just what's involved in church. One of the challenges that we have as a church is we don't have enough people doing church stuff. But that shouldn't be our focus. We could solve our Sunday service roster problems, and I can tell you, we've got lots of them. That wouldn't necessarily make us a better church. It'd make Sundays a lot easier. But I would actually be far more interested in, far more impressed by, or the thing that we really need to see is, are you finding how you're following Jesus the other 6 days of the week? And are you doing that intentionally? What is your ministry, not just what is your roster? Where are the ways that God has wired you and gifted you to do these things everywhere else? Because Sunday will come around again and we'll get another opportunity to solve the roster. Don't worry about that. But what does it look like for you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? To be living intentionally for Him. I was looking at something during the week, and this is a bit of an aside as we come towards an end. And it was just talking about eternity and just how long eternity actually is. Like, eternity is huge. I try and think about it in my mind. I don't know if you're like me, but I try and think about eternity and I can't fathom it. Like, I genuinely cannot fathom just how long eternity is going to be. We get 40, 60, 80, maybe 100 years to see other people live for eternity. Are we going to give every moment of this life to do that? Are we going to make sure that we wring out of this life experience that we have just enough that we see more people spend an eternity with him because of what we've done. Because that is what Jesus has tasked us with. Wring out of this life as much as you can. You've got a whole eternity to spend time and to get to know and to enjoy the fruit of what it means to know Jesus. Let's use what time we have to do what God has to make a difference. So what's our task as a church? Let's journey with people towards Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to live for you each day. Just to find how we can use each moment towards you and your purposes. I pray you would light a fire underneath us. Help us to be so intentional everywhere we go. I pray that you would lay on our hearts the names of people that are in our vicinity that you have a role for us to play in. And I pray you would help us, whether we're natural evangelists or not, to think about the steps that people can take and to help people take those. We thank you for this time together and just pray that you would send us out this week, this month, this year into your community, to people that you know and love and long to see come to know you. And you'd help us to play the role that we can play. In Jesus' name.